just words that I wanted to state. I had a great pleasure this past Shabbos, that's why I wasn't here Sunday, of visiting Richmond, Virginia in the community to teach Torah. I was really, I was struck by the community. It's a very small community. There's one Orthodox shul. I think somebody told me like 80 families or something like that. I don't know if 80, I don't think it's 80. I don't know if they're all Shomer Shabbos or not, which is common in out-of-town community. But it was highly unusual because normally when I go away to teach Torah, I'm usually asked to teach on, my topics are all about Tanakh-related things, some of the intro to Bible interesting topics, about some Machshava-related to Mount Orthodox stuff. If I talk about a halachic issue, it will be some very hot-button issue, you know, and not kind of lumdus, but just presenting shitos of what underlies and so on. Which is nice, it's very important to teach Torah. But here, when I went, I did some of that in the larger shiurim. But here, twice, you know, once Motzei Shabbos and once Sunday morning, I was able to actually give a shiur on, you know, Gemara Halacha Be'ion. Motzei Shabbos, I spoke to, you know, a number of the young members of the community, a couple who might have gone here, a few who learned in the yeshiva. It's only high school there, but continued learning. I gave a shiur on Davar Sheish Lamatir on Chametz and Pesach. And on Sunday morning in the yeshiva there, the yeshiva high school, I gave a shiur on something in the second Parak in Makos, and some of the kids were really wonderful, really, really good kids. It really, for me, it was a tremendous, tremendous pleasure. My hosts were really wonderful. But the reason I mentioned this, I know I could say I'm making a plug for the community. People, when you're married, you can move down there. It's obviously, politically speaking, a more conservative community. It is red country. Virginia may be blue, but that's only because the northern slice, it's really purple. But nonetheless, it's really, really lovely community. But one of the reasons I want to mention sort of two things. Number one, the reason why that community exists the way it does, in terms of having a very small number, but a fall about them, some mostly younger, who are actually serious about learning. And again, I don't know how many hours we've done, but really, really B'nai Torah, was really the influence of one person. He's a Rav who was a Mechanech in the high school. I knew him growing up. He was the Rav in my shul. But at some point, he had moved, and he was there. He was the principal of the high school, but he was there when they first began the high school, maybe 10, 12 years ago or something like that, not exactly. He taught a group of students through their 4 years and then continued teaching the school. He had a very fine Talmud Chacham, a Talmud of Rav Moshe, and had an enormous, enormous influence on those guys, on the people coming to that yeshiva. Really an incredible influence. They have some out-of-town students, but for the most part, it's not a place where you have what is essentially almost a modern Orthodox yeshiva high school. But they're very serious about learning. This Rebbe in particular is someone who actually had taught once upon a time in MHS. Most of you may have never heard of it. It was Rabbi Riskin's Yeshiva High School in Riverdale, which was considered an outstanding school at the time, 30, 40 years ago. But this one Talmud Chacham had such an enormous, enormous influence on those students and the community. And when I sent the Rebbe a note thanking him and acknowledging how unique it was, and he said, yes, he thinks it really was due to the influence of one Talmud Chacham, who was an unbelievable Talmud Chacham, a great Rebbe, really related to the kids, in Anav, really a Balmidos and a Balkishronos, but really, really a humble person. And he had such a huge impact upon the community, even though now he's in Eretz Yisrael. He has his own sort of yeshiva. I don't even know the name much about it, but really a seminal influence. But what struck me is that the ability of one person to have such an incredible, incredible hashpa on a community that he's already, and I know you don't know what will be in 10 years, but there's a fairly good possibility that you come back in 10 years and you might even have a larger number of people. You know, people have been moving into the community, but really the ability of an individual who is A, Baal Kishronos, and B, who has proper midos and is Yirei Shamayim and is passionate about helping people and teaching people and connecting to people, the roshan that he left there is just unbelievable. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal thing. And so I think that we sometimes become jaded and cynical, and sometimes we rather just close up shop and say, well, what can we do? Because basically you can't swim against the tide. And sometimes you can't swim against the tide, but sometimes if the water is, sometimes the right circumstance, if it's shallow enough, you can swim against the tide and you can change a world. But really, it's an astounding thing. I've never seen, maybe there are other places like that, but I've never seen anything like it. It's really a remarkable trip to him, and it's really wonderful. It's a wonderful statement about the tzibur there. The other thing that I wanted to mention in context, which I think needs to be emphasized over and over, and you probably hear me talking more about this. My sicha from last week was a bit about this. And I think that we all need to be thinking about this, and we all need to be talking about this. It came up in conversation with one of the people there who had sort of helped select the shiurim. He said that he listened to my shiur on gun control, but he didn't think that was probably the best shiur to give in the community. I don't think he expressed an opinion himself on it, or disagreeing with it, but I understood why. In certain places, in a place, and as I think a lot of Balei Tshuva, my sense of Balei Tshuva, Gerim in the community, something like that, where probably, you know, given that it is a politically conservative place, sort of the Second Amendment occupies a very central place in a large part of America, and even in a place like this. So I assume that's why he didn't think it was he wasn't objecting to what I said. And what I said in response was, which I understood, if you'd asked me, maybe it would have been a good share, maybe not. I don't think I would have run to do that there. The point I made is the following. When I spoke about gun control, and the shiur is online, there's no politics in this. I don't know what the Second Amendment means. I mean, there are the machitas, the machlokas of Dayanim. Some Supreme Court justice holds it this way, some hold that way, and that's fine. I'm not a bar hachi to be machriya between them. Everybody, you know, it feels like, even though it's not always the case, that whatever people's pre-held sheet, that's how they're going to read the Constitution. I'm not saying that's true for the judges, but for most of the American population, that's where you start with. It's what you hold generally, and that's how you think the Second Amendment should be read. I know nothing about the Second Amendment. I can't tell you what that is. And the truth be told, my values that I aspire to derive do not stem from broader American culture. We, Torah Judaism, is fundamentally countercultural. There was a moment in this country 50, 60 years ago where it felt like, it may not have been true, but it certainly felt like, that the values of Torah Judaism and the kind of broader American values were not so much out of sync. You know, in some areas they were, but they weren't, you know, totally out of sync. I don't think it was actually true 50, 60 years ago. It is certainly not true today. I spoke last week a little bit about the issue of Gilei Arayos, put it in summary. But I think it's true here as well. And this cuts both to the left politically, to the right politically. It just depends upon the particular topic. Said whatever the Second Amendment means has no bearing whatsoever on what a Torah Jew's view is of guns. A Torah Jew's view of guns, of weapons, of hunting, and everything else is determined by our Torah, by Chazal, and what they had, by Rishonim, by Achronim. Right? Our attitude, I'm not going to recap, but our attitude towards hunting, I think, is encapsulated by the famous Tshuva of Nodeb Yehuda, that hunting from the Torah's perspective, hunting for sport is Maaseh Nimrod and is Maaseh Esav. That's not up for discussion as a Torah Jew, unless you have a better source, but I don't think it exists. If you want to go argue Nodeb Yehuda, take your chances, but you're going to lose on this one. Right? So you have to understand that our values are supposed to derive from Torah, not from broader American culture. And again, I want to be clear, this is just one example. It goes left and right and left and right. There are all sorts of issues. Whatever the Torah's attitude on social justice is, it doesn't come from the Democratic Party, it doesn't come from the Republican Party, it doesn't come from the libertarians. It comes from the Torah. Whatever that view is, one can have a discussion about some issues, what exactly is the view. But it's essential to emphasize that our values are supposed to come from Torah. Our job is to study Torah. Sometimes there are more than one view in Torah. But it is not supposed to derive from broader American culture. If it happens to be that those values coincide, it makes our life easier because we're in sync with the broader culture. But there are many, many, many times that those values do not coincide. And we have to be very careful not to be caught up in the tide of assimilation. Even if we live in our modern Orthodox communities and we shop in our kosher butcher stores and we are Shomer Shabbos and we don't do all sorts of things and we are Shomer Taras HaMishpacha, those are obviously all very important and an indicative of a commitment, a serious commitment on one level or another. But Torah is not just about specific details. There is a value system, which again, on some issues, there's room to debate the details or what exactly that is. But bigadol, we are supposed to, when we live our lives and when we make decisions, even bidvar harishus, even in those things where it is considered a rishus, it is probably, technically speaking, probably mutter to own a gun. In a case where you're not in danger. When there's no danger to you, it's an interesting question. The level of sakana, in halacha, let's assume for the moment that it is mutar on a halachic level. Nonetheless, the decision of whether to do such a thing has to be made through the prism of Torah and the prism of halacha and the prism of hashkafa of Chazal, not through the prism of the Second Amendment and the NRA or anti the NRA, whatever you are. Because we are aspire to be Torah Jews, and that is our value system, and that is where we look for our values. Shabbos.